In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin our reading at verse 51. And I'll read verse 51, and then I'll ask you if you would please join me on verse 52 and every other verse down through verse 58 here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Oh, Heavenly Father, if you'll help me today, I think I'll be a help to someone in this room. I would ask you, Lord, that you would do that. I can't do it on my own. I know that. The truth is, Lord, I've attempted to do things on my own and just ended up as a failure. But Lord, there are more important things than my giving it my all. I need you to help me regardless of what all I give. And I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last Sunday morning, I brought a message simply entitled, Are There Any Absolutes? In today's modern Christianity, someone might say, absolutely not. And of all things. But the truth of the matter is, we looked at four biblical absolutes last week. Those were, first of all, the Bible, God's Word. It's absolute. People don't always understand it. I don't always understand it, but it's absolute. Why? Because it's God's Word. You don't ever have to worry about it being anything other than God's Word. It's like when Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand after the Pharisees had brought a woman to him and said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What do you think about that? First of all, I'd like to know where the man was, because they were both guilty. Probably one of those men that brought her to Jesus. And Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand. You say, what did he write in the sand? Don't know, but whatever it was God's Word. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. We studied about God's Word last week. We also talked about eternal salvation. Yeah, O-S-A-S. Once saved, always saved. Can't lose it, can't give it away. Can't quit believing and lose your salvation because you're born into God's family. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And just like my children, as sometimes they were rebellious and they maybe wanted to live with someone else, and I threatened a few times to give them to the family down the street, just a few times. But the truth of the matter is nothing will ever change the flesh and blood relationship that we have with our children. Even if we got emancipated away from them, nothing would change the flesh and blood. Why? Because I was born into their, they were born into my family. And so eternal salvation is a reality. Can't lose it, can't sell it, can't give it away, can't send it away, because the Bible says, I will in no wise cast out. And one of these days I'm going to pull that phrase and I'm just going to give a whole list of in no wises. I mean, there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. And there is not one example in all the Word of God, beginning to end, where a saved individual lost, gave away, or became an unbeliever, or became an unsaved individual. Nowhere. Then we talked about the absolute of heaven. Heaven's real, whether people believe in it or not, because there's only two destinations after a person dies. One is hell, one is heaven, and heaven is real. And the Bible spoke about it often, and Jesus gave his life that we might be saved and be in heaven with him. Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. I would say, where's Jesus? Hebrews says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Guess where the Father is? The Father's in heaven. So we will be where he is, living in a mansion of our own. You keep your cabin on the backside of heaven. I don't want it. Listen, this church is a cabin. It's log cabin from front to back, top to bottom. I want a mansion when I get there. I'm thankful for this building, but I want a mansion that God has promised. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land. Listen, I'm looking forward to it. We also talked about the reality of hell. Someone says, I don't believe in hell. Jesus did. You're not smarter than him, and you're certainly not more spiritual than him. And Jesus spoke about hell twice as much as he talked about heaven. So maybe that's something we ought to be concerned about if we're not saved, because there's only two destinations. Oh, there's no halfway house. There's no purgatory. There's nothing like that. No, it's heaven or hell when you die, and you have to settle it on this side of the grave. Can't settle it after that. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's what we looked at last week. There's obviously more than four absolutes in the Bible. For example, there are some things that are incorruptible. We read about it just a moment ago. What I mean incorruptible, I mean absolute. Incorruptible, doesn't change. And the word incorruptible in the Bible simply means it means perfect. It means it cannot change. It means that it cannot be improved upon. And so the Bible speaks of those things that are incorruptible. And if you change something, it must go to perfection from imperfection. And if it's perfect and you change it, it goes from perfection to imperfection. But the Bible says there are some things that are incorruptible. And that so many of those things are incorruptible, will not change. I mean the same yesterday and today and forever. And so there are several items in the Word of God that are called incorruptible. And I want us to look at some of those today. Why incorruptible? Last week when I preached on four absolutes, I thought, man, there's so many other absolutes in the Bible. Not just those four that we gave you last week, though those four are enough. But there's plenty of things in the Bible that simply do not change. You know, did you know that change is a position in our lives? If you change, that means you go from one thing to another. And someone says, Jesus said, God said, I'm the same, I change not. But the Bible tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But for example, an individual, I think about some things that I used to believe. When I became a pastor, I don't believe those things anymore. Why? Because I read the Bible and found out what it said. It's like what Curtis Hudson said. It's always easier to believe what you've always believed than it is to read the Bible and find out what it says about something. And there's some things that I misunderstood in the Bible, things that I was taught wrongly from the Word of God. And a little bit of study goes a long way. And so I made a change because I was at a position that was incorrect. I went to a position I finally believe that actually is correct. So I want to talk about some things that are absolutely, I mean absolutely incorruptible. And the first place we're going to start is with God. God is incorruptible. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 in verse 23, what sinful man did when he rejected God and rejected the truth of the Word of God, it says, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, they traded the real God in on things that they said were God, even like themselves. And it says, notice this, as the incorruptible God, they changed him into an image of corruptible man. Idols that they made out of stone, idols that they made out of wood, idols that they made out of a tree trunk. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And they worship those things. They might worship a man. They might worship an item in the Bible. They bowed down before the golden emeralds of all things. And they bowed down before the corruptible gods of the Old Testament. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about Dagon. I'm talking about all these other ones where children were sacrificed to thee. Man changed the incorruptible God into that of a corruptible individual. immutable. And it means that God is immutable. God does not change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And He cannot be improved upon, and He cannot and does not and will not ever change. He cannot be taken from imperfection to perfection because He's already perfection. And because He's perfection, He'll never be able to be taken from perfection to imperfection. Why? Because He is perfect. Cannot be improved upon, cannot be changed in any way. God cannot be improved upon in that God is not, He is without corruption of any kind. I think it's interesting, even when Jesus was crucified on Calvary, the Bible says that God did not suffer Him to see corruption. Why? Because He was perfect. You know, because God is absolutely, absolutely incorruptible, uncorruptible. Because God is absolutely perfect in every way, that means His Word is incorruptible. This Word right here. Now, men may want to change it. Men may want to not believe it. Men may want to tear it out and say, I don't believe that anymore. Men may want to say it's not worthy to us to read. Some might say it's just a book of fairy tales. As one prominent figure in recent days have said, is that it's built on a lot of things that are unproven and can't be proven and all the rest of it. No, the Word of God is absolutely incorruptible. Every word. Did you know that God breathed out of Himself into men and they wrote down what God said, and that's called inspiration. And then God, by a miraculous thing that God does, and God does miraculous things perfectly, He perfectly preserved His Word, and the Bible that you have today is without error and is perfect in every way. All the promises of God are incorruptible, as Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, and I'm sure they had a lot of doubt. Why? Because of the lifestyle that the Corinthian believers came from into. Then he wrote to them, and Paul said, all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen unto the glory of God by us. God has never not kept a promise that He made. The one that's most important in my life is Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did and He did. I called and He saved. And I love that because it's a promise that God has made. And His prophecies are incorruptible. You know, every prophecy that was supposed to come true by today has already come true. And there's only a few prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled and that are yet in the future. But everything to this day right now has been fulfilled. Dr. John Rice taught us many years ago, there are no prophecies that need to be fulfilled before Jesus comes back for His own. Thank God for that. We're not looking for that one last person to be saved, as our Calvinist people friends tell us. You know, that last one. Yeah, there's going to be a last one saved before the trumpet sounds. Has nothing to do with Calvinism. It's just talking about, are you hearing me? It's talking about timing. One person's going to get saved and the trumpet's going to blow and the angel's going to shout and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with the dead who rose first. God promised it. But I'm here to tell you what, there are no promises. There are no prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled in order for the Lord Jesus to come back. That's why I believe, and I believe with all of my heart, and many know not believe it now and never think about it, but that means that before I'm done preaching today, the trumpet could sound, the angel could shout, and we could say, come up hither, or y'all come, or supper's on. I don't know what he's going to say. And then we can be taken up into the air. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Not one prophecy has to be fulfilled before that happens. And by the way, His comforts are incorruptible. God has, the Bible says that God is, He's got the comforter, and He's got all, so He's a God of all comfort. What comfort do you need today? And you're dependent on something or someone else to bring you your comfort. No. The Bible says that He is the God of all comfort, and it's incorruptible, and His testimonies are incorruptible. See, what are His testimonies? That's what He says. You want to read about His testimonies? Go to Psalm 119 sometime and read it from start to finish. All 176 verses, every one of them, talk about God's Word. And at one point and many times, He refers to God's Word as His testimonies. Incorruptible. They're true and righteous altogether. A.B. Simpson wrote the song, Yesterday, Today, Forever. And the words are these, oh, how sweet the glory, it's in your songbook. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still, he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame, cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus, never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus, never. Glory to his name. He who was the friend of sinners seeks the lost one now. Sinner, come and at his footstool penitently bow. He who said, I'll not condemn thee, go and sin no more, speaks to thee that word of pardon as in the days of yore. As of old he walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all life's way he walketh ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold him. Hasten, Lord, the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. A.B. Simpson said it right. Uncorruptible, incorruptible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not only that, but here's an odd subject for you of something that doesn't change, and that is the crowns that one day we may receive. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Wow. You ever look at it that way before? An incorruptible crown. Once this crown is received, it cannot be improved upon, it cannot change, and it will be and it is perfect. Earthly crowns will tarnish, and trophies will rust, and awards may decay, and titles will be forgotten, and accolades will fade away. But the crowns God gives will never tarnish, never rust, never decay, and never fade. I have gone back to my high school a few times since I graduated. Such a long time ago. And when you walk into the school, they have a trophy case. And the trophy case is filled with pictures and trophies, and they're all behind glass, and it talks about this year that and this year that. I can guarantee you nobody in my class remembers things that happened in 19, whatever it was. And I'll guarantee you the graduating class of 2026 will not remember anything that went on in that case because they're unimportant to them. They'll be forgotten. And every one of those trophies that's in there is going to tarnish. And every one of those pictures is going to curl on the edge. And if it was developed by a cheap developer, the color pictures there are going to turn kind of a pinkish purple look. You've got them in your photo album at home, don't you? Yeah, they're all going to change. They're all going to tarnish. And one day somebody's going to sell them in a garage sale, and the person who buys them is going to throw them in the trash, you see. But not the crowns that we get from God. Mark wrote this in chapter 9 and verse 41. It says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. An absolute. There is no, by the way, I'm going to give you something that I taught you a long time ago, but I'm not going to elaborate on it, okay? The Bible mentions five different crowns that a believer can receive from the Lord. And, you know, we talk about casting crowns at Jesus' feet. We talk about there's even a modern CCM group called the Casting Crowns, and they sing songs and all the rest of it. But what are the crowns that the Bible speaks of that we can cast at Jesus' feet? First of all, a crown incorruptible for the disciplined Christian. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. There's a crown of rejoicing for the soul winner. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20, "For what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." He's talking about people that got saved. Soul winners get those, that crown. There's a crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. And let me just say before I read the verse, you better love Jesus coming back. Don't give him that excuse, "I got things to take care of. Don't you come back today." You get it taken care of today. Yeah, don't you worry about things that are undone. You start getting things done is what you do. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Even so, come Lord Jesus." Come back today. Say, what about all the unsaved? They made a choice. Hell is not filled with people with people that God has rejected. Hell is filled today with people who rejected God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. A crown of glory for the faithful pastor. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd," that's Jesus, "when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." He says, pastors, take care of your people. God's got a crown for you. And then lastly, a crown of life for those who are martyred for Christ. You know, I don't know anybody today that's looking to get martyred, but there's a lot of Christians today who are martyred for Christ. God has a crown for them. Revelation 2:10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Those are the crowns that are mentioned in the Bible. There may be others that others have missed. I don't know. All I'm saying is one day the Bible says we can take those crowns. It's a wreath that will go around your head, and it's got the leaves on it. And the Bible says one day we'll take that off and cast it at Jesus' feet. Glory. And they're incorruptible. They don't change. They can't be made perfect because they already are. Something else that's incorruptible. I like this one. Maybe it's because I'm taking this one personal, more personal than I should. But our glorified bodies. That's right, our glorified bodies. One of these days I'll rise and drop this flesh, you see. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. See, how fast is the twinkling of an eye? Oh, people have tried to measure, but they say it's about 1/30th of a second. For you photographers out there, you understand how quick that is. Just the blink of an eye. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Wow. Did you know that the incorruptible body that you're going to receive at the resurrection, and when the trumpet sounds and the angel shouts, that body you'll receive will be incorruptible? The one we have right now is pretty corruptible, isn't it? Yeah, you woke up this morning and thought, man, this is corruption. I know you did. You looked in the mirror and said, this has got to be a mistake. You know, I understand that. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, you know the verse, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." some foolish so-called Bible teacher many years ago, don't know who it was, but he taught somebody this. He said, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be the same age as Jesus, 33 years old. Couldn't they come up with a better age than that if we're going to be in heaven for all those years? 33, that means all you women are going to have beards and mustaches if we're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus. Now, you suffer with that right now. You don't want to suffer with that through eternity. Yep, I said it, didn't I? No, we will have a body that's uncorruptible, just like the Lord Jesus's. You see, the body right now is not made for eternity. We're going to get a new body. I'll get a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life, as they sing. You notice that our glorified bodies will be like His, and they will be incorruptible like His. And you cannot improve it, and you cannot change it. And in that day, my glorified body will be incorruptible, and it cannot be improved upon, and it cannot be changed. Why? Because I'm going to have a body like the Lord Jesus, you see. Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears. Now, this is not a point of trying to contradict anybody. But you know your tears are not wiped away till the end of the book of Revelation. Someone says, if I die today, God's going to wipe away all my tears. That isn't what the Bible teaches. You see, this we're talking way into the future. And it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And this verse is a favorite among God's people. Think about it. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. Those things will be forever eliminated in that wonderful land of eternal life. And no wonder the saved are able to triumphantly say in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55, as was read this morning, O death, where is thy sting? O grave. O grave, where's thy victory? Jesus conquered it all. Never again will a funeral procession take place, for death, the last enemy, will have been destroyed. And in addition, everything associated with death is also eliminated for all of eternity. Eternity. What can I say other than glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and any other praise you want to give? No more disease, no more heart attacks, no more automobile accidents, no more wars or no more rumors of wars, no more staph or strep infections. And on the list could go, all gone, not there. No. Incorruptible is what it's going to be like for our glorified bodies. Jim Hill wrote the words and simply said, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. You know, Jim Hill said it right. What an encouragement Jim Hill was. There's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. He goes on to write, there'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. Penny plays at the end of nearly every service, we'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning. Over yonder, we'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there. This is where that song comes from. And I asked her specifically to play that many years ago, and she's been playing it ever since. No more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. But something else. Last thing I want to give you this morning. It's not the last thing I'm going to give you, though, but it's the last thing I'm going to give you with this message. Our inheritance is incorruptible. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it talks about how we're saved and what we're headed to. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I got a reservation. My reservation's in heaven. Our inheritance is going to be perfect, and it cannot be improved upon, and it cannot be changed. And if there were no other verse in the Bible that speaks of eternal security of the believer, it's this one. If this was the only one, that will be enough. By the way, our inheritance, this eternal inheritance, does not, and I want you to hear me again, I've taught it through the years, we need to be reminded, our inheritance is not heaven. We don't inherit heaven. I'm not going to heaven because my mama was saved. And she didn't go to heaven because her daddy was saved and her mama was saved. And I'm not going because my parents are saved. I'm not inheriting heaven. No, there's inheritance that comes for us, but it's not heaven. See, heaven was a gift. You got that when you called upon the name of the Lord. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, it's a gift. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our inheritance, this eternal inheritance, does not speak of heaven, for heaven is not an inheritance. An inheritance is what we are entitled to because we are God's children. You see, it cannot be corrupted, it cannot be defiled, it cannot fade away, and it cannot be given to another. It's incorruptible. These are more absolutes. Do you think about all the different subjects in the Bible that we could teach and preach that are incorruptible, that are absolutes? So many others. I'm amazed. I'll probably give you some more next week, but I want you to listen very carefully. In a not-so-perfect world, it is good to know that there are certain things that are for certain. You know, I would hate to live my life and wonder about eternity. You know, I wake up in the morning, and I do. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, but I wake up in the morning. I don't wonder if I'm going to go to heaven if I die that day. And now that I'm later on in years, that could come at any time, and I realize that. When I think about that, I'm not worried about where I'm going to spend eternity. Why? Because God made a promise, and His promises are incorruptible. They don't change. All the promises of God in Him are yea. I quoted it already. Paul's words to the Corinthian believers. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, under the glory of God, by us. In this not-so-perfect world, it is good to know that there are certain things that are for sure certain. And there are several things in the Bible that are called incorruptible. We looked at a few of those this morning. And they cannot be improved upon. They include our God, our crowns, our glorified bodies, and our inheritance. Those things do not change. They are incorruptible, uncorruptible, however you want to pronounce it. We have much to look forward to. You know, when I was so blessed as a teenager with my youth pastor. God bless his heart. He's still alive. He's living down south now. And retired from the work of the ministry and all that. But for all those years, he had an old Sunburst Gibson guitar. And he would sit around with us either in our youth chapel or he would sit around with us at a campsite or when we'd go on a trip and he would play that old guitar. I mean, if you've ever seen a Sunburst Gibson, that's exactly what his guitar looked like. And he would teach us, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." I'm glad that he taught us those things. I'm glad that we can still sing them today. I'm glad that many of them are in our songbook today. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old, and someday yonder. You see, these are certain things, absolutes, incorruptible promises that God has given to us. I don't wonder where I'll be for eternity, and it's not because I've been good, it's because I've been saved, and God keeps His word. Incorruptible. I wonder what else we could say next Sunday. I guess we'll figure that out by then.